I was at Petapalooza on Sunday. Never been to the event before. They had the air dogs that would run down the ramp and jump into the pool as far as they could. That was pretty neat. Some dogs could absolutely fly. And then the Holland canine units were there. And they had Joe and Joel. They both put on the big bite suit. And, I mean, the dogs were really, really, really kind of sociable. But the minute they were given the command to bite, it just got intimidating. I mean, they were taken to the ground instantly. And I tried to get the suit on me. I'm like, hey, guys, let me wear the suit. I'd love to get bit by the dogs. And they says, no, Dan, you'll actually hurt the dogs if you don't know what you're doing. Steve, do you think I'm nuts to want to put that suit on?
Not at all.
You would like to do that too?
I would love to do that as long as I felt like I had enough padding and, you know, something protecting my head.
Yeah.
Those dogs are amazing though.
Well, even if you've been to minor league games where they do this, in Joliet, this is one thing that they did over the last summer when I was there. They would wear the big sumo suits, mm-hmm. and they would do the pretend. They made it look like you're huge. You put on the big padding that makes you look like you're a sumo wrestler, and you would both sumo. And whoever fell over lost. But that's what the bite suit looked like. I'm like, guys, let me wear this. This is great publicity. Can you imagine a dog taking down the host of WHTC? That would be awesome.
I think that would be a good promotion at a Whitecaps game. Maybe have the people do races in sumo suits and then send the security dogs after them.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. We were talking about this before we went on the air, and that was for the first time yesterday. I finally this is old documentary, not that old, but 2011. The ESPN 30 for 30 film called Catching Hell, which is, if you remember, about Steve Bartman. Of course, you unfortunately remember this day pretty well.
Oh, very much so as a Cubs fan.
Now, if you don't remember what happened, if you're not a huge baseball fan, essentially the Cubs, they haven't made it to the World Series since 1918, something like that?
1908. Last time in a World Series, 1945.
Yes, that was the last time they won one was 1908. The Cubs were leading in this game, and a foul ball got hit down the left field line. Moses Alou, who was their left fielder, ran over to make a play on the ball. The ball was technically still in playing, it was still in the playing side of the stands, but Steve Bartman, one of the fans, reached his arm out and hit the baseball. It's really kind of cool because if you watch the documentary, it explores how the friendly confines were anything but friendly to Steve that night, which is too bad. It destroyed this guy's life. I mean, he had to change his name. He had to hide himself. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think he ended up going to Florida for a few weeks after the incident.
Yeah, that's what the rumors
came back, and a lot of reporters were like stalking him at home, at work. It was a pretty stressful time for him. I really felt bad for him.
Yeah, why do you think? Was it because it was just that much frustration and what happened? They took it out? Because more than Steve went for the baseball. There were 8 or 9 people around him that went for the baseball, too. He was the one that hit it.
Yeah, he was the unfortunate one who actually made the contact with the baseball. But,
yeah.
You know, it was one of those things where, you know, I think that Alex Gonzalez, the former shortstop for the Cubs, is probably Steve Bartman's biggest fan because
he
his
booted
error on
a
the double play ball
yeah.
probably cost him a lot more than Bartman did.
Yeah, check that out. I think it's worth watching. It's ESPN's 30 for 30, which usually does a really good job. They got a couple out for Michigan. They've got one on the Bad Boys they release and also one on the Fab Five if you're interested. But that one's called Catching Hell. And unfortunately, your Cubs not doing – of course, my Tigers are doing pretty poor too.
Cubs actually had a 5-game winning streak that was snapped yesterday, so we're still in the cellar, but you know, bright skies are ahead, I guess.
Yeah. So what are we talking about this week?
Well, today we're going to talk about refinancing because interest rates are at their lowest levels in close to a year. So I've noticed a big uptick in refinance activity, so I'm going to discuss the do's and don'ts for refinancing your mortgage.
So why would you want to do this?
Well, I would say the biggest reason why people refinance their mortgage is to lower their monthly payment. In the past, people used to say that the new rate had to be about 2% lower than your current rate for a refinance to make sense. That may have been true about 30 years ago when loan amounts were considerably smaller than today's loan amounts and closing costs represented a higher percentage of the amount being borrowed. But today, with loan amounts being as they are and closing costs representing a smaller percentage of the loan, you don't need a big rate differential in order for a refinance to make sense. So what I tell my clients is this: if you can recapture your closing costs, which would be lender direct fees like application, processing, underwriting fees, third-party charges like appraisal, credit report, and flood certification and the title charges, if you can recapture those fees within the first 24 months of the new loan, the refinance would make sense. For example, if you were to refinance or go to refinance and it was going to cost you $2,000 in those fees that I'd mentioned, and your new loan is going to save you about $100 a month, you're going to recapture your costs in about 20 months. And in that case, since it's less than 2 years, the refinance makes sense.
Why are rates so low right now? Is there a good reason behind that, or is it pretty complicated?
Well, I think that there's a multitude of reasons. I think that there has been a big inflow of foreign cash into buying mortgage-backed securities, which mm-hmm. helps drop interest rates. China has been buying a lot of mortgage-backed securities, which has actually kept rates down.
Okay.
The economy is still not hitting on all cylinders, so I think that long-term interest rates are still low because there's no near-term pressures on inflation going up. So there are a couple of forces at work as far as what's keeping interest rates down.
Some other reasons you might want to consider refinancing a mortgage.
Other reasons would be if you're looking for long-term rate security, let's say you have an adjustable rate mortgage that's going to be adjusting in the near future, or you have a home equity loan or line of credit that's at a variable rate. A lot of people want to tie that into a fixed rate instrument for the life of the loan to take rate risk out of the equation. If you're looking to take cash out of your home for any reason, I'd say the most popular reasons for doing that are home improvement needs, debt consolidation, such as like paying off a bunch of credit cards, or to finance big ticket items like an educational expense for a child going to college. Sometimes people will refinance out of necessity because maybe you're in a 15-year mortgage and that payment's just a little bit too steep for you. So maybe going to a 30-year term provides you a little bit more flexibility with your cash.
Now, I'm still too young to have a house or have a mortgage or have
no,
to
not.
Worry. I mean, I guess there is no age limit. I could get one if I really wanted, right?
But you can sign legally.
Yeah, I can legally sign, but that would be the worst decision I made at this point in my life. But why do I assume, and this is something that I think I just assumed based on what I've heard before, but that there are obstacles in refinancing. Why is that?
Well, like a purchase mortgage, you still have to qualify on your own financial merits. The lender's going to analyze your income, assets, and credit in order to make sure that you qualify to borrow under the terms that you're seeking. I'd say the biggest X factor in refinance applications is the property value. For instance, if you bought your home in the spring of 2006, which many consider to be the peak of the home market prior to the collapse in values, your home is likely not worth what you paid for it. That can be a big problem when it comes to refinance. Fortunately, the HARP program, which is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, is still available. And if you closed on your mortgage prior to June 1st, 2009, and it was either done through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, you could go to either agency's website to look and see if you're eligible for a refinance where the home value really doesn't matter. Also, you can check with your real estate professional. You can call them and see if they can pull some comparable values for you, 4 to 6 comparable properties that have sold recently, and that'll give you some indication as to what the current market value is for your home.
All right. He's Steve Bensinger from First Advantage Mortgage, the sponsor of Realty Radio this morning. If people want to get in touch with you about this or anything else, Steve, where can they contact you?
Well, if you're considering refinancing or purchasing, I'd be happy to help. You could reach out to me by calling me at 616-499-3800. You can email me at steve@stevebensinger.com, or you can get me on the web at www.stevebensinger.com.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.